Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. To make a donation, please use the link to the left of this webpage. And thanks.
From the UN Climate Summit in Cancun, Mexico, this is Living on Earth. I'm Steve Curwood.
And I'm Bruce Kellerman.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the Mexican United States.
The pomp and security was what you'd expect under the circumstances. Delegations from more than 190 nations had come to Cancun to deal with a planetary crisis, climate change. But security was so strict that many who had planned to attend the first day session were stuck in a two-hour checkpoint traffic jam. But by the end of the first week of the conference, many had found their way to see Mexican President Felipe Calderón talk about the importance of forests in the fight against climate change. Calderón got a standing ovation.
O cambiamos nuestra forma de vida para detener el cambio climático, o el cambio climático va a cambiar a fuerzas nuestra forma de vida.
President Calderón told the crowd, we have to change the way we do things or climate change will change us. Two dozen heads of state and government attended the Cancun summit, but one was conspicuously absent. Peasant farmers and their supporters held a press conference and demonstration to protest the UN climate talks, calling on U.S. President Barack Obama to stand up for indigenous rights, fearful that a negotiated treaty to curb greenhouse gases would come at the expense of those who had protected the environment for so long but had profited the least. In the wake of the failure of last year's climate talks in Copenhagen to reach a binding agreement, UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon told delegates in Cancun, time is running out.
We are here for one reason, to protect people and the planet from the uncontrolled climate change. Nature will not wait while we negotiate. The time for waiting while keeping one eye on everyone else is over.
Time is also running out for the UN climate conference process itself. This is the 16th COP, or Convention of the Parties, the 16th annual meeting where the nations of the world have tried to seal a deal on greenhouse gas emissions and their effects. It's a process that requires consensus by all 190-plus countries attending the meeting. Duncan Marsh is Director of International Climate Policy with the Nature Conservancy.
We are facing the risk that countries are going to walk away from this process under the UN to deal with climate change. And that's not optimal. For a global problem like climate change, we need a global solution where all nations are acting together.
Unlike the high expectations for last year's climate meeting in Copenhagen, where a final agreement was anticipated, the hopes for the talks here in Cancun were decidedly lower, designed to shore up confidence in the UN process, building on the one issue where negotiators had worked out most differences. RED, the UN mechanism for reducing emissions from deforestation and degradation, putting a price on the carbon in trees so they're worth more left standing than cut down. Rosalind Reeve is head of the forest team at London-based NGO Global Witness.
It really felt as if everybody engaged in RED was converging towards one point, that we really were coming towards a consensus. But that consensus seems to be somewhat fractured.
An agreement on RED was on the fast track in Cancun. Stopping deforestation and replanting trees is considered the quickest way to reduce climate change in gases. It's an amount equal to that emitted by all the vehicles in the world. RED is especially important for countries like Indonesia, home to the world's third largest tropical forest. Kantoro Mangkusubroto, head of Indonesia's RED program, cautioned climate negotiators to slow down and get the complex RED mechanism right.
We are introducing a new paradigm of development. So although we want this to happen very fast in Indonesia, we have to be very careful.
Potentially at stake is hundreds of billions of dollars in RED forest credits. Many indigenous groups and nations, including Bolivia and Cuba, oppose turning the carbon in trees into a commodity that can be bought and sold to offset industrial emissions. They believe developed nations should cut their greenhouse gases first. But supporters of a market-based mechanism say it's the only way to raise enough money to fund RED. For billionaire financier George Soros, there's gold in them, their trees.
It has to be preservation, but it has to be a model of economic development. So I'm ready to invest in it, and I think private enterprise has to play a major role.
Among nations, Norway is the biggest supporter of RED. It's put more than $2 billion on the table for the forest-saving scheme, funding it with revenues from North Sea oil. Jens Stoltenberg, Prime Minister of Norway, says the nation's leaders have also paid a high cost in political capital as well.
We are a major oil exporter, but we tax petroleum extremely high. And it's hard to win elections on the message of high taxation. And therefore, I'm very much dependent on success to show the Norwegian voters that they are getting something back.
A major sticking point in the RED negotiations in Cancun was verification. Donor nations want to make sure the carbon locked in trees stays in the forests. Norway says it gave $250 million to the World Bank to fund RED programs in Guyana. But Bharat Jagdeo, president of the South American nation, says Guyana saved the trees. Now show it the money.
We have decided, we have taken the tough political decision to pledge our entire forest with the hope that we'll get money or assistance to develop alternatives. And frankly speaking, we have not seen a single cent.
Success for the climate talks in Cancun will be measured incrementally when the UN looks to the summit next year in Durban, South Africa. And as the Cancun meeting wound down, Rosalind Reeve of Global Witness reflected on the speed of the process.
What's important is that we get the rules right, and it's better to wait than have a bad deal here.